God, for men. We want to sing about the goodness of Jesus. Men that understand that it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. That know he could have come down and all of us would be lost. Whole world. Thank God for Teddy. Teddy said we were unredeemed, unworthy. I think she used the word unworthy. We still would have been unworthy if Christ had not came and died on Calvary. Amen. We're gonna look at Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. Verses 1 through 11. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord have need of him. And straightway he will send him there. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosen the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, on this great Palm Sunday, we ask right now that you would just be with us. Guide and direct our thoughts. Give us the ability to concentrate. And if our hearts have not been pricked and open, Father God, we ask right there, right today, that you would just touch our heart. Give us the heart to believe the gospel that Jesus truly did die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And we pray all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Passion Week. I want to speak this morning on the subject and talk about donkeys. I talked about donkeys last week. But I want to speak this morning about salvation found in a donkey. Say that again. Salvation found in a donkey. A salvation discovered in a donkey. I don't know. Does anybody else read that in there? As we read the scripture, I think Roy read the same scripture when he came up. Amen. Salvation found in a donkey. I told you yesterday, Sylvia asked me, why did Jesus have to die on a cross? And the question was, somebody had asked her that, and I said, because it was prophesied that he was going to die on a cross. And the Word of God is always right. And somebody said, well, why did Jesus have to ride on to Jerusalem on a donkey? Because it was prophesied that he was going to come riding on a donkey. The donkey meant he was coming in humility. He was coming in peace. He's coming back on a white horse. He's coming back on a white horse. He's coming back for war. But this time he came in peace, and the people weren't ready for peace. They wanted him to come in on a horse. They wanted him to come in and overthrow Rome and put the Jews back in power. But Jesus came in peace. And Zechariah 9:9 said, Zion, people of Zion, you ought to rejoice and shout for joy because your Savior, your Messiah is coming in riding on a donkey. Donkeys were very, very popular in the Bible. There's over 140 mentions of donkeys in the Bible. Job, his great empire was built on transportation of that day. The Word of God says he had oxen, he had horses, he had 500 she donkeys. Amen. In Genesis, we found Abraham when he was called to take his son Isaac up for a sacrifice. He mounted up a donkey. One of the more famous ones was Balaam. When Balaam was on his way back into the world, he was going back to do trouble. God, the Word of God said God caused a donkey to speak to Balaam. He said, what you doing, Balaam? Don't you see the angel of the Lord in front of you? God has always used donkeys. God used this donkey this morning to trigger the people. You might say, well, what do you mean? God was sinless. Jesus was sinless. And being sinless, he couldn't die. He would live forever. He had to trigger the people to put him on the cross. And he came in on a donkey when they wanted him to come in on a horse. But when we look at this donkey, and I just want to make 3 points today. We're talking about salvation found in a donkey. And the donkey represents us in this sermon today. Donkeys had to be redeemed. They were unclean animals. You couldn't eat them. So if you had a donkey, and because they were so valuable, because they were movers, you could load them up. They were strong animals. We talked about how in Matthew, when we seen the Good Samaritan, and we found the man on the side of the road, and everybody else had walked by, the Good Samaritan came and loaded that man up on his donkey. So these were valuable animals. And if you had a donkey, and I know I'm a King James guy, but I'm going to use the word donkey. Okay? Because we sometimes in the church, we have some folks that like to giggle and laugh, and I'm going to just say donkey today. Amen. A donkey had to be redeemed because it was unredeemed. It wasn't worthy in God's estimation to eat. So if you had one, even though they were so valuable, a lamb had to be sacrificed if you were going to keep the donkey. And if the lamb wasn't sacrificed, the word of God said the donkey's neck was to be broken. Oh, let's turn there, because I don't like to say stuff like that, because somebody, I don't know if that's in the Bible. Exodus 13:13. God is speaking. He says, in every firstling of a donkey, thou shalt redeem with a lamb, if you want to keep it. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. That's the word of God. Now, if we aren't redeemed, we may not get our neck broke, but we are on our way to hell. An unredeemed man is going to hell. Somebody said, well, show me that too. Psalm 9:17. Easy text to find. Look what it says. And I just try to show these things. It says, the wicked, the unredeemed, shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let me say that again. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Think about that. Next time Congress meet. Think about that next time the Senate meets. The wicked. Galatians 3:13 say, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Curses everyone that hangeth upon a tree. God died for us to be redeemed. Nicodemus, and I asked a question on Wednesday night, what's more important, or what happens first? Are you born again, or do you believe? The question provoked a lot of thought in the room. The correct answer is, you have to be born again before you can believe. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you are to see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God in your flesh. You must be born again. He didn't say you must be baptized. He didn't say you must join a church. He didn't say you had to join the choir. He didn't say you had to give anything to the church. But one thing has to happen. You must be born again. And as Pastor Kelly would say, he didn't say it was a good idea for you to be born again. He didn't say you ought to consider being born again. He didn't say you ought to think about being born again. He said if you plan on leaving here and going to heaven, you must be born again. There's nobody in heaven unredeemed. If you're in heaven, it's because you've been born again. And if you believe this gospel, it's only because you've been born again. Ephesians 2 talks about how we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And in that dead, unregenerate, unredeemed state, we were not in a position to believe nothing. A dead man can't believe nothing. A dead man can't hear the word of God. Until God comes into that life and awakens him and quickens him, now he is in a position where he can hear and understand the word of God. So when you are ministering and talking to your unregenerated, unredeemed friends and they have no clue, it's because spiritually they are dead. They are lifeless. And they may say, I understand. I believe what you're saying. But like this donkey, they had to be redeemed. And somebody sang the song, redeemed. Redeemed how? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have to be redeemed. This donkey, before God could even consider using it, it had to be redeemed. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you need a new life. You need a new life. You need a new life. So we see the donkey being redeemed. Before God could use this donkey, before God could call this donkey into service, he had to take the first step. He had to be redeemed. And some of us sit here and wonder why you don't have a desire to do nothing. Don't have a desire to even, study the word or pray or anything for God. Maybe you haven't been redeemed. And if you haven't been redeemed, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. God redeems us to be used. Ephesians 2 and 10 says we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Now, the donkey was redeemed. According to Scripture, a lamb had to die for this donkey, and a lamb had to die for us. But there's a second point here. The donkey, even though it was redeemed, it was still tied up. It was tied up. The donkey was tied up. So you can be redeemed and then still tied up. Still tied up, attached and fastened to sin. In a form of life. See, some of us, he's like Shrek. Matthew Ray and Jeremy was giving me lessons this weekend on how to say Shrek. I just put a sh in front of it. Shrek. Ray said I still got it wrong. That's good as I'm going to get it. But like Shrek, many of us have been redeemed or believe we've been redeemed, but we still attracted to the swamp. We still like eating bugs. We want to take them hard, well water showers with that water just coming out brown. See, the donkey had to be set free. He had to be unloosed. See, the donkey was redeemed, but he was still tied up. Amen. See, and some of us have been redeemed, but we still tied up. See, we still tied up in the ways of the world and the things of the world. We talk about the parable of the four soils. And see, the first soil was hard pan. Nothing was going to grow on that. Some of you may throw the word out to some folks, and it's land on hard pan. Like throwing out seed, put it on this carpet, and ain't nothing going to happen. Teddy going to come run a sweeper on it. You heard it, but it didn't penetrate. Then the second one is on stony ground. See, you heard the word of God, and you get excited, and you run down there, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got the Holy Ghost. And then when you leave out of here, your cell phone is just blowing up. We got a party tonight. We got the chronic. We got the drinks. We got it all. You need to come. I just got saved today. Man, that's for suckers. That's for lames. We got party. We got beers. I mean, it's March Madness. Ohio State is on. And we getting tore up. And like that seed that lands on the stone and the ground, the soil just a little bit. It gives enough where it can bloom. Oh, but when the heat, when the sun and the heat and all that adversity and persecution come, you wither, and next thing you know, you're getting high again. Yeah. You're getting drunk again, and you're going places where you said you weren't going to go when you ran down the aisle. And that's the last the church seen you. And then the third soil is, here's the donkey soil here. Here's the third soil. This person gets saved and they have all the outward manifestations of a saved life. But the cares of the world, Bible says, and the cares of the world choke them. I mean, they got soccer practice, band practice, football practice, tennis practice, baseball, bingo, bowling league, golf league, dart leagues, fishing leagues. Got your lodge meeting, your Masonic lodge meeting. You got the Eastern Star meeting. You go on here, cruises, carnivals. Yes. Then somebody call you, oh, you only have Bible study. Ooh. Wednesday night, let's see, that's bingo night. Got my dart league, my golf league. That's my lodge meeting. And Law and Order, come on. Here you go. Then I'm a Miss Family Feud because, and then he preached too long. I forget that. Listen. So we tied up. And so the donkey had to be released. Listen what Titus 2:14 says. Listen. He gave himself, Christ, for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people for what? Zealous of good works. See, as folks, redeemed or not, bound to sin, tied up to sin, we can't be used unless we are cut loose. We have to be set free. Free. Listen. Somebody say, well, how is this donkey free? That's good. I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked, because see, folks don't like hearing the word of God. They, oh, listen. Oh, man, I don't want to hear the word of God. Listen, the donkey was set free by the word of God. By the authority of God. The only way you're going to be set free is by the word of God and the authority of God. How? What do you mean? Look at this verse. Look at verse number 2. It says, and he said unto him, go your way into the village, and as you have entered in, you shall see a donkey colt tied, whereon never man set loose him, and bring him to me. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Huh? Yeah. How was the donkey set free? By the word of God. Yeah. Say ye that the Lord have need of him. And over here they ask another question. And straightway he will send him there. Oh, come on now. You want to get set free, you better get a love for the word of God. And you ask God, give me a love for the word of God. Give me a love for the word of God. Listen. And certain of them that stood there, verse 5, said unto him. Now they're going to do what Jesus said to do. And certain stood there, said unto him, what do you do? Or what are you doing loosing that coat? Don't you know that coat ain't never been rolled on? It's going to run all over. We're going to have to chase it down. That coat is crazy. Why do you think we got to tie it there? And look what they said. And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Untie that coat, because that coat was now under the word of God, under the authority of God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. If you go into a church in the emphasis on entertainment and music and dance and theater and theatrics, that's corruptible. That's corruptible seed. The word of God must be preached. You cannot stand on your faith if God's word hasn't been preached into your soul, into your heart, and into your spirit. And you can sing your way to hell. And dance and mime your way into a fiery pit. The donkey was set free by the authority of God. That's it. That's it. He was set free. He was set free by the authority of God. Oh, come on now. Listen. The donkey. Somebody call it donkeyology. The donkey. The donkey like us had to be redeemed. Somebody had to die for us. Then the donkey had to be set free. And some of us are saved and we're not set free. We're saved and we're doing what we want to do. And we still tied up the mess. And we still tied up the junk and gossip and lying and conniving. And we still caught up into all kind of stuff. Look at this third point. The donkey had to be ruled. R-U-L-E-D. The donkey had to be ruled. He had to have an authority over him. Just like us. You know, some of the most unruly people, some of the most disruptive and uncontrollable people you will ever meet will be found in God's house, claiming to be Christians, claiming to be redeemed and set free. We listen to all the woman, be thou loosed. You can be loosed and unruly. You need to be ruled. You need to have an authority over you. Ephesians 5:23 says that husbands is to be over the home. Oh, we don't like that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, we live in a different day. I got a 50-50 marriage. Well, if you got a 50-50 marriage, buddy, you ain't got a marriage. Oh, Lord, here we go. No such thing as a 50-50 marriage. You are, some of you women out there looking for a man. I'm looking for a man. I'm going to have a 50-50 marriage. You ain't looking to get married. Just shack up. Because God has placed man over woman in the home. I know Cindy and I, we was coming out of Walmart one day, bought some charcoal, two 20-pound bags. It's in the buggy, and I'm straining to get him in. We get to the car. I say, Cindy, go ahead and get that chocolate, throw it in the trunk. Cindy, look at me. She said, you the man. I felt good. Got a little power. Listen. Ephesians 6. We're going to get through Ephesians now. We're just taking a break. And it says, in the home, parents rule over children. Now, that's changing. Okay? Can't do nothing to them no more. And they know it. They call 911. Go to school and parents be in jail for stuff we were unthinkable. I remember going to school many days and I'm sitting down gingerly and quiet. Them y'all remember them trees, them sticks in the yard, all the leaves come off. My brother and sister would get in trouble. Mother would say, go get me one stick. I find the biggest one. Come on, what say you? So I got a saw on that thing. She told me to go get one for me. Go get me a switch. But the parents are to rule the children. Listen, on your job, Ephesians 6, 5 and 8. The boss is in authority. That's just the way it goes. That's the way God set it up. And in the church, the pastor is the person that God has put in authority. He is the person that has to rule over you. And in that sense, he is praying for your soul. Look at Hebrews 13. I think it's just necessary that we turn to Hebrews 13, 7 and verse 17. Look at verse 17. 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you. Now, I'm not telling you how to run your business. That's not my job. My job is to preach this Bible. That's the only rule that I have, is what's preached and found in the Scriptures. Now, when I start telling you stuff that's not in the Scripture to do, then we got problems. Because I've overstepped my boundaries. But if it's found in the Scripture and you come to me, if you come to me for advice, if you come to me for counseling, I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. I there's nothing else I can tell you. So don't come to me talking about, you know, we have irreconcilable differences. Now, if you come to me and he didn't crack your head open, that's a whole different thing. But, you know, when we first got married, you know, he used to take me out to dinner, but now he don't. I don't find that in the Bible as a cause for problems. I don't like going out to dinner much myself. I mean, I work on a job where they're paying people $35, $40 an hour, and they don't want to do nothing. Now, I'm going to go to a restaurant where they're paying people $10. I don't trust all that. I mean, if you're paying somebody $40 an hour to do a job and they slacking, I'm going to go to a restaurant and I'll be telling people, please don't send that steak back. It ain't right. Don't send it back. Take it home and microwave it till it's done enough. Because they still got my wings back there. Listen. I lost my train of thought. Look at Hebrews 13, 7. Talking about rule. You got to have somebody ruling over you. And I'm talking about in the gospel. See, the Word of God, and preachers have corrupted the Word of God. They say, you give those in authority, give them double honor. And double honor to the modern charlatan preacher, some of y'all heard it, mean they automatically assume that means double money. That's not what it means. Okay, let me make it plain. Double honor does not mean double money, because if that was the case, it'd say honor your mother and father. That means give them money? No, that's not what it means. Okay. Double honor means if you go to a regular Christian person and they give you some advice and maybe you don't agree with it, you go to the pastor who studies and prays and understands the Word and give him double honor. And if I was the support, if you go to, say you go to Jesse and say, well, here's what the Word of God says. Well, Jesse, you just a baby. I'm going to somebody that gets some experience. And I agree with Jesse, then that's double honor. Okay. Look what it says. Remember them which have rule over you. This donkey needed rule. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I pray for you folks. I think about you all the time. I don't sit in the pulpit and attack you with the Word of God. I preach the Word of God verse by verse. And believe me, it challenges me as much as it confronts you. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Now, we got to be redeemed, and we got to be loose. And again, we can be loosed and redeemed and still unruly. We've been in Mark on Wednesday night, and there was a leper. We talk about this leper, And God healed this leper. Luke said he was full of leprosy. That means every time he moved, a toe fell off, or ear, he could scratch his ear off. This was a nasty creature. He was full of leprosy. And it says, the word of God says that Jesus healed him. He redeemed him. He loosed him from that sickness. But he did not, the leper refused to be ruled. Because Jesus told him what to do. He says, go to the priest and offer up an offering. And don't talk to nobody but the word of God. But he blazed abroad and told everybody. So it was so bad that Jesus could not preach in that town. He was redeemed and he was loose, but he was not rude. Oh, listen. Let me show you what it looked like. I love Martha and I love Mary Magdalene. I'm talking about Mary Magdalene. This is what it means to be ruled. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Yeah. Now, I could preach on that for a little while, but I'm going to leave that alone. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, sicknesses, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. More than 7. 7 is the number of infinity. So Mary Magdalene was full of devils. And God delivered her. God redeemed her and loosed her from them devils. Oh, Lord have mercy. Listen. And then the story goes on about Mary and Martha. And Martha was cooking. And she was just cooking and busy, and Jesus was in the house. And Mary turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell my sister to come and help. And what did Jesus say? Let her alone. Mary is doing the best thing. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him. Mary had been redeemed, had been loosed, and now she was under the authority of Jesus. And when Jesus was around, Mary Magdalene was going to be at his feet. Mary, let me show you one more in Mark chapter 5. We talk about the lunatic from Gadara. Remember the lunatic? And it said, no man can control this man. No man can tame him. Some of y'all have that reputation. You know, we had that reputation when we was on the street. Man, listen, I'm doing what I want to do. Song came out, it's my thing. Do what you want to do. And we that one was a hit because that spoke to all of us. We was doing what we wanted to do. Wasn't nobody telling us nothing. But like Frank Sinatra. Doing my way. Nobody telling me what to do. And that's how this demon was. Listen, in chapter 5, verse number 4. It said, because he had been often bound with fetters and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, and neither could any man tame him. Always day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tomb, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Oh, he knew where his help coming from. Oh, he knew where his help coming from. And if Jesus wouldn't have showed up, he would have died in them tombs, screaming and hollering and cutting himself and not being able to be tamed. But he was redeemed and he was loose from that sickness. And now look at this. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 17. And when Jesus was getting ready to leave, how about this? You tell me you've been loosed and you've been redeemed. Here's how it ought to look. And he began to pray. When Jesus was getting ready to leave, he began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And he went. And he went. And when he was come to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Oh my goodness. Now this is the man that was untamed, was demonic and cutting himself and all kind of foolishness. Now he was praying that he might be with Jesus. Now we're going to talk about him being rude. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, it's like he said to the leper. He said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee and have had compassion on thee. Then he was rude. Now he didn't say, no. I don't want to go back there. I didn't terrorize them folks all my life. I want to come with you because them people mean and they're going to be bad. They never forget what I used to be. Listen, the dying world will never forget what you used to be. They will remind you. See, Satan's nickname is accuser of the brethren. And you go to your class reunion, saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, redeemed, loose, and ruled, and they're going to say, man, I remember we used to tear up the town. You remember little Bobby Joe? They're going to remind you of everything you ever did wrong. That's just the way it is. But when this demon was redeemed, this man was redeemed, look what he says. And he departed and did exactly what Jesus said, verse 20, and began to preach or to publish in the capitalists how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. That's what it means. That's what it looks like to be rude. Now, the question is, are you rude? Are you rude? Are you redeemed? Are you loosed? And are you rude? Are you rude? Listen as I close. Verse number 3. I'm back in Mark chapter 10, verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. Just a powerful verse. Could preach on that. So much in there. Listen what it says. Talk about this donkey. And it says, if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord have need of you. Listen, folks. If you've been redeemed and you've been loosed, the Lord have need of you. Like no other time in the history of this world, this is the greatest time in the history of this world to be a Christian, because the world has need of true believers of God. We talked about this morning in Sunday school, and it talked about when the lost world sees you, do they see Jesus? Do they see someone who spends time with the Lord? Do they see someone who is living a good and godly life? Do they see someone they can come to, and that person can ask you about the hope that is in you? Why do you believe? Do you have an answer for a lost and dying world? What a great time to be saved. What a great time. Everywhere lost folks. What a great time. Listen. When the donkey, this is interesting. When that donkey put Jesus on his back, and you know, that's all we are called to do, is to lift Jesus up. That's all we are called to do, is to lift Jesus up. And that donkey walked down that highway with all them screaming folks. You know what they saw? They saw Jesus. They did not see that donkey. They didn't pay that donkey no attention. They saw Jesus. If they would have saw the donkey, they would have known that he was coming in peace. They paid no attention to the donkey. And folk ought not pay no attention to us, but the Jesus that we represent. So the problem is when folks see us, they see so much of us and so little of Jesus. They see all us and no Jesus. And that question is begged to ask, what do people see when you walk by? When you walk by, what do people see? Are we like the donkey carrying Jesus? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, look at the empty seats. It's happened all over Youngstown, all over Cleveland. Somebody said if a revival took place in Cleveland, there wouldn't be enough churches. If revival took place in Youngstown, there wouldn't be enough churches. Right now, there are more folks at Four Seasons Flea Market up the street than there are in the house of God. Standing outside in the cold, eating sausage sandwiches with peppers. Ain't thinking about church because church folk and ran everybody out of the church. Do people see Jesus in you? Are you like this donkey? Can you be rude? Or are you unruly and disruptive and just so evil? The donkey was under control. He was loosed and he was redeemed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for dying on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Father God, for redeeming us. Let me make it personal, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for redeeming me. Thank you, Lord. That I can sing, Father God, I'm free. I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me down. Hallelujah. I'm free. Thank you, Lord, for dying on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, for when they stood outside mocking you, saying that you save others, let them save yourself. Thank you, Father God, for staying on the cross. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for looking out in that crowd and seeing me and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Father, for loosing me. I was bound, Father God. I was tied up. I couldn't set myself free. I was handcuffed, hog-tied, deep in sin. And only the power of God could set me free. And not only did you set me free, Father God, you wiped the slate clean. You told me in your word, Father God, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you. And no matter what the naysayers say, no matter how much dirt they bring up, Father God, I know when I look at myself, I see the blood of Jesus. And I've been washed. And Father God, I'm not running things. I'm not doing what I want to do anymore. Your words say, Father God, and everything we eat, drink, and do, we do to the glory of God. Father God, I thank you for ruling me. I thank you, Father God, for not allowing me, Father God, to make decisions. You're a good God and a faithful God. And I thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. The doors of the church are open. Amen.